Welcome, my outside the box thinkers, to the Anti-Aging Unraveled podcast, where I am your host, Dr. Lori Gerber. In this podcast, we will explore the fascinating world of personalized anti-aging medicine that considers the whole person inside and out, and how all systems are interconnected to each other. In today's world of modern medicine, we often find ourselves like just another number in a system that prioritizes quick fixes over sustainable and more natural solutions. Well, let's get ready for a paradigm shift in health and beauty. We look far beyond treating symptoms and aim to get to the root cause of our health and cosmetic issues. This podcast is your go-to source for all things natural, outside the box, and innovative in integrative medicine and cosmetic dermatology. So sit back, relax, and get ready to dive deep into the world of functional medicine and aesthetics with me, Dr. Lori Gerber. Let's take a trip down the real skin revolution pathway together. Hi guys, it's Dr. Lori and I am back for another episode of Anti-Aging Unraveled. I'm so excited to be here with you guys and I know it's been a while since we've put out a podcast. I've had a lot going on and some things just get in the way and I can't record, but I'm really happy to be back. So without letting you guys wonder what the next topic is, I want to talk a little bit about what the difference is between traditional low thyroid or hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's thyroid disease. And Hashimoto's is a funny name, but it's actually named after, as most things are, of the person that founded it and figured it out. And traditional hypothyroidism does not involve what we would call antibody production, whereas Hashimoto's thyroid disease does. That is the major difference. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune thyroid condition that is caused by, usually your body starts making antibodies and they start fighting your thyroid. It usually starts an underactive thyroid, but at times it can actually create high or overactive thyroid disease, and it is the most common cause of hypothyroidism that there is, and it's only becoming more and more prevalent. And traditional hypothyroidism is really a broad medical condition. It can be anything that makes the thyroid underactive. So insufficient production of hormones can be from Hashimoto's. It can be from medication-induced low thyroid, radiation therapy, or having your thyroid gland removed, or even iodine deficiency, especially all around the world, that can be a big problem. So when we kind of talk about the differences, really Hashimoto's is a subset of low thyroid disease function. All right. So how the thyroid works. The thyroid gland produces two hormones, specifically T3 and T4. Many of you have not heard of these because our primary docs do not really check a lot of T3s and T4s. It's mostly just a TSH. So as things start to progress in the integrative world, we're starting to see more and more T3 and T4 being checked. It makes me so happy because T4 is the inactive hormone. It needs to be converted to active hormone or T3. T3 is what biologically is the most active. So it regulates metabolism and helps with heart rate, body temperature, digestion. It also plays a really big role in brain and sexual development. So low thyroid disease can be a huge problem, especially in young kids that develop early autoimmune disease or even just early hypothyroidism. In adults as well, obviously weight gain, we're going to talk about, is one of the most common things that I get complaints about. But T3 and T4 are really the ones that are responsible for this. The release of thyroid hormones is regulated by another hormone, which is more commonly checked by our primaries, and that is TSH. TSH is produced by the pituitary gland. It's located underneath the brain. And the pituitary gland, I call it one of the master hormones, is regulated by the hypothalamus, again, another part of the brain. So there are lots of ways to get a trickle down or a trigger effect if it's not just the thyroid that's the problem. So we can have thyroid disease that's caused by a pituitary problem, a hypothalamic problem, or the actual thyroid gland, or deficiencies in some medications and vitamins like we talked about. So primary hypothyroidism is when the gland itself is not producing. It can occur from Hashimoto's, like we're going to talk about, radioactive or iodine therapy, removal, radiation, iodine deficiency, and actually can be congenital where you don't have basically a thyroid for production, or you don't have a good formulation of your thyroid, and that is a congenital thyroid dysplasia. Secondary thyroid disease can come from the things that I talked about kind of above the thyroid. So the pituitary and the hypothalamus, so they can be also called tertiary. If it's hypothalamus, pituitary would be secondary. So it's, I always say that they're like master hormone regulators. And if there's something wrong up there, they trickle down to the hormones below them, the thyroid being one of them. So let's specify what happens in Hashimoto's disease specifically. As the disease progresses, our body actually will destroy our own thyroid gland. Okay. So we get poor tolerance to heat and cold, weight gain, fatigue, lethargy, constipation, thinning hair, dull, dry skin. I always say dry all over, menstrual irregularities, body aches, joint pains, mood swings, depression, you name it, really thyroid can actually affect it. The inflammation of that thyroid gland can actually make it enlarged, and sometimes it actually called it a goiter. And goiter will actually cause difficulty swallowing, hoarseness of the voice, trouble breathing, and cosmetic issues, obviously. Now, goiters were much more common before iodine in food, but I do have a podcast on the removal of iodine as a preservative and what that kind of did for our population. And there was a surge in thyroid disease. So I think what you'll find is it's very interesting, you know, when we change the preservatives in our foods, what happened to our bodies and then what happened in pharma to come out with basically the first thyroid replacement, which was T4 or Synthroid, which at one time was what the most prescribed drug in the country. You know, there's a whole history lesson there and an interesting kind of podcast in the beginning of my podcast is probably a couple of years ago. But when the autoimmune attack continues and you continually fight your thyroid, you can actually get almost like an overactive thyroid where you can get palpitations, you can get increased sweating, increased intolerance to heat, tremors, irritability, anxiety, difficulty sleeping, again, those menstrual disturbances, low libido, and weight loss. So again, it's almost like you have this autoimmune attack that gives you a hyperthyroidism, and then over time becomes underactive because you fight so much of the thyroid that it basically starts to not be functional. And Hashimoto's is a diagnosis of lab work. Okay. Most of our primaries, they need to understand we need to draw antibody levels T4 and T3. Okay. If we don't see antibody levels, we can't call it Hashimoto's. So it is covered by your insurance. You can request that. I highly encourage my patients to ask for a full thyroid panel, including antibodies T3 and T4. You do have a right to actually request it. And it should be relatively easy for a primary to order for you on a yearly basis, even if you have to do self-pay. It is an immune problem, okay? There are several things that we're going to talk about that will drive the immune system to not behave appropriately, but the immune system is usually designed to attack normal things like bacteria, virus, fungi. In Hashimoto's, the immune system attacks the thyroid, and you get an accumulation of inflammation cells that cause destruction and scarring of that thyroid, decreasing its function over time. The damaged gland just can't produce enough thyroid hormone, and that's why it's such a progressive disorder. If we catch things early, we can stop the progression, and that's really the key to this whole podcast. But in general, much more common in females, about 4 to 10 times more commonly affected. You can have a genetic predisposition towards this. So a genetic link, it usually is around 30 to 50 years old. Although in mine, I started a little bit younger. I think it's more common with food sensitivities to start younger. Other autoimmune conditions, rheumatoid, celiac, diabetes, things that actually will drive the immune system to misbehave, it's much more common. And then as we're going to talk about, certain viruses, bacteria, hepatitis, and other things can cause Hashimoto's. And it's often misdiagnosed because it's so gradual. And there's such a fluctuation in these hormones because sometimes they start high and then they go down that really just testing a TSH and sometimes even a T3, T4 can't elicit a positive diagnosis. We need those antibodies with the symptoms. For me, antibodies equals disease. Antibodies to your thyroid are not normal. And once you start producing them, it's a problem. We need to stop that in its tracks. So what do we need to order? TPO and thyroglobulin antibodies. An ultrasound, if your antibodies are positive, I like to see if there's nodules or obviously we want to look for cancers or other things. And we can see signs of autoimmunity in the thyroid or the goiter on ultrasound. So we can see signs and symptoms of Hashimoto's. Watchful waiting. This is my biggest kind of pet peeve in medicine. If you have antibodies, your thyroid levels are normal. We're going to watch and wait. This is not an appropriate therapy, in my opinion. All we're doing is letting your body attack your thyroid and seeing when it finally becomes underactive. We can actually do things to prevent the destruction of this thyroid. And that goes back to really the three things that I like to say are my core principles or three big buckets that can potentially cause autoimmunity and inflammation. One is food sensitivities. Two is chronic bug or underlying infection. And three is toxic exposures, pesticides, plastics, anything that can accumulate in the system that shouldn't be there. So many of us have food sensitivities that go ignored or not addressed, and many of us have chronic bug and toxic exposures that we don't know are there. These are three things that are relatively easy for us to control. So when we treat these things, we can actually prevent the progression of Hashimoto's thyroid antibodies, okay? Obviously, with low thyroid in general, we're going to treat it with a couple of different things. T4, or a variation of Synthroid or levothyroxine, is inactive thyroid hormone. It's not active. So many people that go on this by itself don't ever feel better, don't ever lose weight, don't ever get rid of their symptoms. Their TSH gets better, but they never make enough T3, or we never shut down their antibodies, so they never feel adequate. Tyrosine is a clean liquid version of T4 that I love, with one added ingredient, especially for my Hashimoto's patients. You don't have the autoimmune response that's going to happen to gluten and the binding agents that are in a lot of this Synthroid or levothyroxine. There's T3. T3 is called Cytomel. It's an active form of T3. I'm hoping we have a clean version at some point in the future. Right now, there are some binding agents in it. However, it's really good to get those active thyroid levels up and get people's symptoms to come down. Inactive T4 thyroid hormone has to convert to T3. In many people, this is not done very well. And in order to do that more effectively, we give people a couple of supplements. Methylated B12. Methylated is the key word in that. Vitamin D3 with K2, usually 5,000 IUs. And some iodine. All of those help to increase our natural production of T3 from T4. It will also help people that are Hashimoto's and non-Hashimoto's low thyroid. There's two thyroid replacements that you need to be careful with if you're diagnosed with Hashimoto's, but I love them for lots of patients, including Hashimoto's at times. Those are Armour Thyroid, or NP Thyroid is another name of a brand, and glandular extracts that are supplements. Both of these are basically extracts from animals. The Armour is a pig extract that is put into a physiologic concentration of thyroid glands. So they literally take the thyroid gland from a pig and they put it into a capsule. A great, great product. Again, it does have some binding agents and fillers for your sensitive patients that will make antibodies to gluten specifically and other things. The glandular extract that's a supplement is all New Zealand bovine extracts. So they're basically, you take it out of the animal, they put it into a capsule as a desiccated capsule, and our body will use that as a natural thyroid replacement. That thyroid replacement, both of those have a tendency towards your body finding it is foreign, just like your own natural thyroid hormone, and it will create an autoimmune process. So not everybody does well with these products, depending on how turned on your immune system is. It might actually trigger a further autoimmune response. Again, we have that B12, that vitamin D, and that iodine on board to help with conversion. And, you know, I'm not a really big believer on looking at seeing antibodies or seeing T3 and T4 that are low on the, what I would call the bell-shaped curve, and not treating this. If you're subacutely low thyroid and your T3 and T4 sit on the low end of normal, or even low in general, I'm a big believer in making sure that you replace those. That shows me that your immune system and your thyroid may not be working in harmony together, and we should get on top of it sooner than later. Now, let's talk about this food situation. So the food sensitivity, the common things being common, I usually will eliminate gluten and dairy first. Give it a good solid 6 weeks. See if you can get this thyroid to kind of bounce back, or even take some of the inflammation down in the system and or the antibodies down. The key is to get the antibodies to a low enough level. The immune system is right on the other side of the gut. It's called the MALT lymphatic system. And as soon as there's a disruption in that gut, the lymphatic system gets turned on. And it's like a leaky gut phenomenon, which I hate the term, but it really just means that our body is becoming reactive to things that it shouldn't be, including foods. And then the next natural step in that process is to become autoimmune or fight our own body, thyroid being the most common. We usually treat with gut powders that have glutamine and slippery elm and calming agents to heal up the inside of the gut and that lining. That lining's like eczema of the stomach, so we want to chill that out a little bit. We also give you things to break your foods down more efficiently and make all those particles smaller with digestive enzymes. Those enzymes are going to help you break your foods down where you might already have sensitivities or that you're just not breaking them down efficiently and help them pass through the system. We use spore-based probiotics to help get rid of the bad bacteria, specifically in the small intestine. And last but not least, bovine colostrum, which everybody is into right now on social media. Bovine colostrum antibodies are a natural antibody. Think about it like an allergy shot. We're giving you nice, healthy antibodies to things so that your body stops overproducing and your immune system works more efficiently. So we use that. It's called IgG. In our world, it's called immunogenics. And I love it for people that are making antibodies to self or autoimmune. I'm also a big fan of doing a full, or at least as full as I can do with regular labs, bug workup. That bug workup is checking for strep and staph and mycoplasma pneumonia and Lyme, some bugs that basically love to do what we call molecular mimicry. Love this, so interesting. But bugs will actually put off an antigen or a foreign material that looks like our body intentionally so that our body will fight this antigen with antibodies, but those antibodies actually will fight ourselves as well. And in doing so, it basically deflects away from the bug so that we don't kill the bug. It's an extremely successful and innovative way for a bug to hide and go into hiding. And that is one massive trigger of autoimmune disease. And as we know, there's some bugs that actually down the line cause cancers as well. So we want to shut these down and get your immune system working on all cylinders. And we do this by treating the bug. We get the immune system supported with immunogenics. I love silver. I love biocidin, another natural herbal anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral. We use a lot of quintessence, another Japanese way herb to kill off bugs. Also something called cryptoleptis. So we have a lot of natural compounds at our disposal to actually treat these bugs. Artemisinin is another one. So they're all on our website. I'm more than happy to help people that think that they have a chronic infection or a parasite even. That can drive it as well. We do parasite testing as well. So we can look at this. We can treat it. We can get the immune system calmed down and hopefully shut down or at least halt the autoimmune response from progressing. So bottom line, guys, advocate for your own thyroid health. Request all of the thyroid numbers that I talked about, T3, T4, and I like a total free T3 and a total T4. I want to know all the inactive T4 that you have to basically use and the active T3 that you're creating that's available. TSH, TPON, thyroglobulin antibodies, B12, vitamin D3, and iodine levels. They will give us a really good idea and a really good start of where to go with your thyroid. And there's so many ways that you can take control of this yourself. Anti-inflammatory diets, low gluten, low dairy, getting on some of those supplements, the B12, the D3, even a little bit of iodine on your own, and actually asking and being an advocate for your own thyroid health so that we can actually find out what's going on with you and looking for bugs or at least even treating your immune system like there's something there to suppress any bugs that might be going on. Avoiding the plastics, trying to use glass, washing your fruits and vegetables with basically a pesticide rinse, buying your Dirty Dozen organic so they don't have sprays, and obviously trying to eat organic meats. Do the things you can, paraben-free topicals, to try to avoid the chemical exposures. All of those will help to decrease your autoimmune response and not only help your autoimmune thyroid, but help other autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, lupus. There's a number of them, but these all fall into the same three buckets: food sensitivities, bug, exposures. All right, guys, I know that was a lot and mouthful, but please be an advocate for your own health and your own thyroid. If you have questions, please reach out on mydrlori.com, or you can just email me at info@mydrlori.com. I'd be happy to give you information. There's an intake on our website that you can actually get started today, and we can give you a rapid intake, which just gives you recommendations on supplements and things to take to help your system and doesn't even involve lab work. We'd love to have you on board as part of our Dr. Lori family and just encourage you guys to be well and be your own advocates.